I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter 2. You've probably never seen this verse in your Bibles before. But if you haven't, you're probably not saved. Or a heathen, one of the two. But I know we don't have any heathens in the house, but if we do, I'm glad. That means you'll be saved today. So, listen, you know, when girls get married, they used to tell us you need something old, something borrowed, something new. I don't know if they still do that or not. But anyway, today I'm going to call my message something old and something new. And I think you'll get it by the time we're finished. Let's just go over here and start in on John chapter 2 and verse 1. John 2 and verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Remember that. They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, "Woman," now he wasn't speaking disrespectful to her. That just means, "Ma'am, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Well, whatever he says to you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said, "Draw out some now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it had came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, they knew where it came from, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. Remember that word. He called the bridegroom, the one that just got married. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior or the lesser wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." And that man just gloated, like, "Look what I did." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brothers. I think there were about 4 or 5 brothers he had, and his disciples, which were 12, and they did not stay there many days. Now, I didn't say they just stayed a few. It just said they didn't stay there many days. So that would have probably been, I suppose, about 15 to 17 people that all went down there together. And so they decided they we're going to go to this wedding. They were invited, so they may as well go. But here's the deal. Most of us, myself included, or those, especially the TV evangelists, I would say if you're going into the evangelistic field and you're wanting to thrust your ministry out there, and you had the anointing and the power that Jesus did, you may have started with raising the dead or healing a leper. I mean, something really big. What does he do? He goes to a wild wedding. Listen, when it says a wedding feast, these wedding feasts lasted about 5 days. I mean, these were just a typical little party, and they drank and they drank and they drank, and you know they were probably drunk, because now they drank it all up and they're out of wine. So now you've got a little dilemma there, but Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, and he waited to get invited to this wedding. And then he went there, and he began his very first miracle. And I want you to remember that it started on the third day. Gina Wiggins, good to see you this morning, lady. God bless. So when Jesus and God our Father doesn't just do things just to do things. I mean, when Jesus, I believe he had an intention in going down to that wedding. He and all the disciples went. And so they get down there, and there was a purpose for that wedding. And I don't think it was just to do miracles. Now, here's where I want to take you today. And this part, I've got to tell you. Kent Christmas, who I mentioned earlier, God has given this man some revelation, and he had revelation on this. I could not hold it back. I thought, dear Jesus, I got to get down there and tell the church this, what he said. I love revelation knowledge, and whenever I get it, I'm thrilled to turn that word and bring the parallel so it fits with us today. But what God spoke to Kent Christmas about this was beautiful. So Jesus' mom says they have no wine. We pretty much know the story. And 3 years later, let me just jump off here a minute. I'll come back and forth. I'll tell you what he said in a minute. So this happened on the third day. Okay, so it was with our time, it would have been on a Tuesday. Okay, but exactly 3 years later, the Bible says on the third hour, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're not going to turn over there to save time, but you know the story. They were all in one mind and one accord, and they knew they could trust the word of Jesus. And Jesus said, now, this was after his resurrection, he said, now you go wait in the upper room. You go down there. There will be a place for you. And you wait because I am going to send the promise of the Father. And so they went and they waited and they waited and they knew they could trust him. And so they waited and the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then the Bible says down about verse 12 of chapter 2, it says that the people said, oh, these people, what does this mean? These people are speaking in these languages, other languages. And there were over 12 different kinds of foreigners there. And they said, we hear them speaking our language. It was a really, really a big deal that day. And they said, they are drunk. They've been drinking wine. They're all drunk. And old Peter steps out. Peter, who was a coward just a few minutes ago, or just a few days ago, at least 10 days ago, he was a coward because he denied Jesus. And when they said, he's one of those, Peter stands back here warming his hands. The Bible says that the enemy's fire, and he says, I don't know him. He denied him. But now, Peter had the Holy Spirit come in the room and come on him and come inside him, and now he's a powerhouse. And now Peter stands up. And the Bible said he stood up to speak. And he says, these men and women are not drunk as you suppose. For it is only the third hour of the day. This is not the old wine. They are not drunk. But they are full. Listen, they are full of the Spirit. They were full of the Spirit. And the Bible even compares both the filling of the Spirit to new wine. And it also compares him to oil. It compares him to wind. It compares him to breath and to fire. Oh, there's many, many scenarios and parallels that you could use with the Holy Spirit's name and who he is. So exactly 3 years later, the Holy Spirit comes in. But here's what I want to take you to. Pastor Christmas said this. Jesus went to the wedding. And he waited until the thing that man depended on to make them happy ran out. Is that amazing? You better preach with me this morning. Jesus waited until the thing that the men depended on had ran out. And of course, that was the old wine. And with all truths that run parallel like this, and they do, and I've always said, if you understand the natural, you'll understand the spiritual better. Now, let's bring it down not only to us. Remember, I said something old and something new. Well, the wedding, that was something old. Now, that was 2,000 years ago, so I would say that's pretty old, wouldn't you? So even 3 years later, after Jesus' ministry had been around, 3 years later, he's getting ready to leave. And so he goes down and sends the promise of the Holy Spirit. That was something old because those people had ran out of hope. Jesus had just died. I mean, it was dark in Jerusalem. It was dark all over the world because they had heard that he may be the Messiah. Many believed that he really was the Messiah. But there was one there when they ran out of wine, and she knew he was the Messiah. She knew he was the Son of God. She knew him, and she knew who he was. And they needed her at that moment because they had ran out of their wine, and they look around, what are we going to do? She says, he says, woman, what am I going to do with you? You know it's not my time. And it wasn't his time. But the woman who knew him, listen, and she knew what he could do. She knew it. She knew he was capable of giving this miracle to these people. And why she wanted such a miracle, I don't know. But I believe she was she had to be a part of God's purpose. So what she did in knowing who he was, she pressed him. Lindell, that last song you sung in that chorus, it said, pull heaven down, I think. Pull heaven down. Let's close with that at the end. What she did was pull heaven into the now. Okay? Jesus says, it's not time yet. And she's like, just do what he says. They fill the water pots. And then she brought his time right up to the now. She pulled on him. She pulled on him. Why? Because she knew who he was. Now, the people waiting in the upper room, there were 500 that got the announcement that the promise of the Father was coming. But as Loretta said, some left and never came back. Okay, so there were 500 that heard, but when the Holy Ghost came in, there were only 120. Why? Because they believed him and they knew, even though it was dark and all their hope was gone, Jesus was gone. That which made them happy, that which healed them, that which blessed them, that which did the miracles, that which provided for them and took them through the Red Sea. Excuse me, Moses took them by his hand. But in the New Testament, Jesus fed 5,000 with two little fish and five loaves of bread. Or five pieces of bread, who knows? Until they knew what he could do. But now all hope was gone because he was gone. And they're waiting because they believed his word. At the wedding, they ran out, but only one woman knew what he could do. And she said that. And I will be your Mary today and tell you I know him. And you're going to be somebody's Mary this week to your wife or to your family or to your friends or somebody at work. And you're going to have to depend on. You know him. You know who he is. And you know what he's able to do. And don't you let them deny him and who he is. If they're hurting, you can tell them, I know him. He can do this for you. Don't be afraid he won't do it. So that's something old, 2,000 years ago, but it happened. But today, folks, you know good and well, we've run out. We have run out. I spoke to an evangelist the other night. And this person said to me, had to clarify what she was saying. Pastor, I don't know, you know, I still love God and everything. I still love God, but listen, my faith has taken a hit. My faith has taken a hit, man. I'm kind of just dragging around here right now. I'm not seeing anything. A lot of people that were following the prophets and the prophets themselves are hurting right now. They're like, what? We prophesied. We said God was going to come through. You know what? For those that said, I made a mistake, they just need to go sit down and go get in a corner and shut up and never speak again. When you speak, you need to hold on to it and believe God. If he said it, he'll do it. You don't throw the baby out with the bath water. You say this hasn't happened yet. See, the disciples could have ran out when Jesus said, go wait for the promise of the Father. Well, they waited 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. I'm not putting up with this anymore. He's not coming. But they knew him, and they waited. And on the 10th day, he came in. He's going to do what he says. But today, people listened. We've never seen anything like this, church. I don't have to elaborate. I mean, I've talked about it enough, I think. But when lawlessness is all over the land, and they're telling our babies at school, you put a mask on, but we're going to let these 600,000 foreigners come in every day, and they don't have to take a mask, and we're not going to check them, and we're not going to ask them if they have COVID, but we're going to put them all over the United States. Something crazy and dead wrong with that picture. Are you out of your mind? And you want to sit the FBI, stick the FBI on the parents at a PTA meeting? And then let others burn the cities down? You want to get rid of the policemen? But send the FBI on parents that's just saying, no, you're not going to teach my kids about transgender stuff. No. You're not going to teach critical race theory to them. We're going to stand up, but no, you'll be put in jail if you open your mouth. Well, I thank God my son-in-law David's on the school board at Lombardi. And David, brother, you stand up. And don't you take the back seat. We're going to be praying for you. And any one of you that have a voice, use it. Because it's crazy. But here's what has happened. And I want to tell you guys, keep the faith. These are dark days. It's desperate days. It's depressing days. And every time you turn on the news, it's something brand stinking new. I'm sorry, I used that word. But every day, it's something new. You send me texts. I'm like, some of them I can't even read because it's just, they've approved this. And I wouldn't even repeat some of it and what they're doing with our children. And listen, church. The world has been absolutely drunk on this stuff. I mean, even the church, we've been drunk on pleasures and drunk on luxuries and drunk on entertainment and drunk on theaters. I've seen the church, many church people go and sit in a movie theater on some movie they shouldn't have watched on Sunday night and come in here on Sunday morning and expect the glory of God to come in. He ain't coming. Not as long as we're getting drunk on the things of the world. We're just drunk on prosperity. Now, we've had prosperity preached up to here, and I love prosperity. And Paul said, oh, God desires for you that you prosper, and he wants to see you in health as your soul prospers. So he wants us blessed and he wants us in prosperity. But prosperity has literally become a part of faith. I mean, it is faith, but prosperity has become a doctrine. Prosperity is not a doctrine. Blessings are not a doctrine. Come on, church, you've got to pay attention to what you're hearing. America's been absolutely drunk on sports. Theaters, drunk on sin, drunk on education. When I say drunk on sin, I mean just anything. I mean, God loves me and I'm under grace and there's not much difference between the child of God at work and the one that you work right beside. And sometimes they're like, well, I didn't know she was a Christian. You know, I've always often said, I know none of us are perfect, and if we sin, if we do, the Bible says we have an advocate called Jesus. And we can go to him, he'll forgive us and wash us as though we never did it. But you don't go ahead and return to that hog pen. You don't clean up and go back to the vomit. You don't go back. And so Jesus, I believe in something new, has noticed. And he said, well, let me just let you go out on those things that made you happy. Let me let you, America, run out of wine. Let me take your wine away from you. The wine of sin and the people in God's house that can turn on the internet and watch pornography and come back and sit right in the presence of God. Something wrong with that picture, church. Have little children in the house and they're not even smart enough to know what they bring into that house could come and attack to their children. The things they join themselves together. In looking at that thing, Jesus said, you've already committed adultery. These things are serious, church. And yet the church has been drunken on these and the world's been drinking them all along. But the last day church has gotten drunk. And Jesus said, oh no, I'm going to take it all away. So when the pandemic came, you watched a lot of these things start to disappear. They started to dissipate. From sports to entertainment to movie theaters, it all began to dissipate. Oh, the devil did that. I don't believe that. I don't think he was happy over that. Not one bit. But I think God said, you want to worship that? I'll take my hand off. Go ahead. And so now people are desperate and they're crying and we're praying more. That Sunday morning we came in here, why? Because I knew we were desperate. Lord, we're going to spend the first part of this service in prayer. On Wednesday night, we're going to preach a word and we're going to spend half the time in prayer. Because Jesus said, don't let the house be a den of thieves. Make it a house of prayer. Well, this pastor finally got desperate enough to say, let's pray. Oh, we call a fast and prayer every quarter. That's good. Not through COVID. But you think the devil was happy with that? God said, I don't like any of it anyway. Now, you want me to get off that? Thank you, Linda. At least one or two. But anyway, when the pandemic came, it began to fall away. But darkness and despair has filled the atmosphere. You don't believe it? Oh, yeah, you believe it. You know. You know. You just stand in line at Save Mart, get up to the register, and someone will talk with you. They're either going to talk about COVID or somebody that's got it. Or how, what do you think about this school system? Isn't that just crazy? You know, everybody's talking about it. So they ran out of their natural wine at the wedding. They ran out of the natural wine when Jesus died 2,000 years ago. And we've finally ran out of wine. All the things that have replaced Jesus in our lives have been taken away from us. Amen? Besides Marty, we should have a big ol' amen. Y'all are getting lazy around here. Must have been COVID. Anyway, it's now us. It's not the upper room. It's not at the wedding. Now it's us. Now we need the wine. And when Jesus, whom they depended on, like their wine, man, you think despair and darkness didn't fill the earth? I mean, it earthquaked and it tore up everything. But isn't it funny that Jesus chose that wedding? But I'll tell you, someone had to be at that wedding to tell him. And you and I are here. We know. But how did Mary know what he could do? Because the angel came and told her this is what he does. Now, Mary didn't have this, but you and I have this. And this will tell us what he'll do. But the thing we got to do, folks, is read this. So you can't talk about it. If you just talk about it, it doesn't do you one bit of good. I don't understand it. Read it anyway. Because in the book of Revelation, you know what it says? First chapter. Book of Revelation, the one that none of us get. Even the best of scholars don't get it. But they've studied it. And we've studied it and taught it. I've taught it verse by verse 3 times across the way there. But the book of Revelation says, blessed is the man who reads the words of this book. My pastor taught me that when I was about an 18-year-old girl. And I read the book of Revelation. I don't know how many times I've read it. Don't get much of it, but I read it. Why? Because he said I'd be blessed if I did. I wasn't a TV preacher that told me that. Jesus said, if you will read the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed. So read it. Well, it scares me, coward. Just read it and be blessed, all right? So they waited on his promise, and the answer came, and they got the wine. But you know what the woman said? You know what Mary said? Son, we're out of wine. Do something. Just do something. You know what they said in the upper room? Lord, we're in here waiting. Do what you said you would do. We've waited and we've waited and we're tired, Lord. We're waiting. We'd like, we need to get home to our families. But Lord, please come and do what you said you were going to do. And he did that. And Mary says, son, please, please turn this water to wine. Listen, it was something very important in that. And I'll tell you right now, folks, there is something very, very important going on today. When you see this kind of despair and this kind of darkness and this kind of mess and this kind of confusion, you know something big is on God's calendar and it's already set up. So remember The Bible also says that after Jesus turned the water to wine, what happened? When he manifested the miracle, they believed. Are you serious? The disciples had walked with him all that time, and they just now started believing? Well, there must have been something about him. That's why you have people that really respect you and honor you, because they know there's something different about you. And that's the Holy Spirit within you. So they knew he was different, so they left their nets, their boats, their livelihood, and they followed him. But now, oh my goodness, they saw this miracle, and they believed. And the master went to the bridegroom. It's funny, they called him the bridegroom. He says, boy, you did a good job. And Jesus never even said, hey, I did that. And the disciples didn't say, no, we did that. We saw him do it. See, humility is a big deal in this day. And they saw him. And everything changed for them. Now, let me take you back for a minute. Oh, my Lord, it's almost time to go. Let me just tell you real quick so you'll know what happened. The reason Jesus had that setting and went to the wedding, because it was all about the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. The Bible says that he is going to present a bride. God's going to present a bride to his son without spot and without wrinkle. So Jesus knew this, so he went to the wedding representing, and he was telling us a story, the end from the beginning. Amen? Because the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. So he says, look, I'm beginning my ministry at a wedding, but at the end time, we're going to close with a wedding. Because God always wanted to have a wife. God himself. And God is so different, and he's so big, and he's so beyond our knowledge. He wanted a wife, and he thought he had found her. Her name was Israel. And Israel was so beautiful to him. Oh, he did such wonderful things for her. And so he was the bridegroom. And she was his bride. And so he called Moses up to Mount Sinai. When Moses went to Mount Sinai, he made the Ten Commandments. And God literally wrote the Ten Commandments out with his hands. It would be like a man getting married, writing out his vows. How sweet is that when people write their own vows out? And God was so excited. Moses, take this down and tell them their inheritance. Tell them how I've divided the land up. And tell them, look, this is the commandment for them. This is my vow to keep them. And when Moses went down, they were committing adultery with a golden calf. And they were saying, this calf brought us through the Red Sea. This calf brought us through the Jordan. This calf. And they were dancing around. And when Moses was going down, he heard the noise of the worship. And he thought, oh, they're worshiping God. And he was so excited. And when he got down, he saw them dancing around this calf. And he was so ashamed. And he went back to God. He said, God, let me just kill every one of them. God was so saddened by it. His heart was broken. He said, no, Moses. And Moses got so angry, he threw the Ten Commandments down. He broke the tables of stone. And God was so gracious that he went ahead and did another set and said, take this to them. But I'm divorcing my people. And God divorced him. And he saved it for his son. He said, son, my heart was broken by my people. And I don't get a wife. But I'm going to have a wife for you. And she will be beautiful. She will be without spot. And she will be without wrinkle. There may not be a lot in the remnant, but I will have a remnant who will love you, son. And you will bring them to heaven with you. And I will bless you with a beautiful wife, son. Ooh, hallelujah. So Jesus went to the wedding. He wasn't looking for a wife there, but he was just showing us one day, I will have a wedding. And there is going to be a wedding in heaven. After we are caught up in the rapture, you know, there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. It'll be a beautiful time, and that's when our marriage will come together with him. Now, when we were born again, we were married to him. Oh, but there will be that beautiful wedding. My mother had played at her funeral one of her favorite songs, and it was called Is That Wedding Music I Hear? And just before she died, she began to hear that wedding music. Honey, play that song you guys sung on your CD. Play that song. It's that wedding music I hear. And pretty soon she was caught up together with him. And so there is going to be a wedding, church. We're way, way down the road, 2,000 years. But listen, and I close. Jesus did that miracle on the third day. He always did things on threes. He did that miracle, first miracle on the third day. Holy Ghost came at the third hour, 33 years later. And do you know, I know you do because I've told you over time, you and I are living in the third day. You say, what does that mean? Well, the Bible says a day is as 1,000 years to God and 1,000 years as a day. Which means there was 2,000 years between us and the resurrection of Jesus. And now through those years, we've come now into the third thousand. We've just stepped over into the third day or the third thousand years. We've just, in 2000, we stepped over into the third day. So we're there, folks. It's time. And God's going to show up. And he's never late. He's going to be right on time. And I'll just skip to the book of Joel. Joel said in the last days, he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. Peter said, this is what Joel was talking about. This is it. Well, it was it. But then Joel goes a bit farther. And he says in the last hours, listen to this. In about verse 23, Joel says, in the last hours of the last days, there will be gloominess and there will be darkness. And he said, there will be despair. But he said, your vats, talking to his bride, your vats will be full, overflowing with fresh oil, and what else? New wine. He's going to pay us a visit, and we will overflow, church. What he said, he will totally do, and we are totally, totally out of wine right now. I heard the prophets yesterday, I heard two of them, saying, please, people, hold on, don't give up, hold on, because people are weary. I mean, people, we're just weary. We're tired of it. We're tired of Joe Biden. We're tired of the mess. We're tired of the mask. We're tired of Afghanistan stealing our people. We're tired of just giving our money away. We're just tired in America. Just tired. I don't know about you, but I could use some of heaven's wine. How about you? Now, don't you be drinking the old wine. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, don't you be drunk on the old wine, but you be full of the Holy Ghost, which is new wine. Hallelujah. I'll just stop. There's no place to stop. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Stand with me on your feet. Oh, church, how he loves us. He's coming for you. Can I tell you this? This is true. Of course, everything else I told you was true. It sounds so good. In Israel, especially in the older days, when a young man proposed to his wife or his girlfriend, he would go to her house and ask for her hand. And he would go for her, and then he would go away. And you know what he went to do? He went away so that he could build her a house. And he went to build her house onto his father's house. And he would build them a nice little, beautiful little house onto the back of mom and daddy's house. And then when he came back, oh, the bride would be ready and she would have oil in her lamps and she would have virgins that would walk with her, and she was a virgin and she stayed holy and she'd get oil in her lamp and be ready. And they listen every night. Oh, that the bridegroom might come. He may come tonight. After a little year or so, whatever she thought might take to build a house, she would wait and they would listen for the sound, because he'd always blow the shofar when he was coming back. And then he'd come back and get her and take her to his father's house and live there. That's reality. That's where the story comes from in the Word. Our Jesus, John chapter 14. Says, I go to prepare a place for you. But I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't true, I would have told you. So Jesus came and he went away. And he went away to build us a house on his Father's house. Because in his Father's house there are many mansions. And he's coming back to get his church. But he won't come back. He will not come back until he has visited us again in this day of despair with new wine and new oil. Somebody lift your hands and give your bridegroom the love that he deserves. Come on, tell him how much you love him. Tell him you want to go with him. Father, fill us with new oil. Fill us with oil. Jesus, you are wanted and desired in this house. We want you. We desire you. We believe for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit. Fill our vats, Lord. Fill our vats, oh Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Oh God, we're going away with you to live with you, that where you are, there we will be. Let me read this to you, church. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former, listen, he has given you the former rain back there 2,000 years ago. He's given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain, listen, and the latter rain, that's where we are, the latter rain later on in the first month. The threshing floors will be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Now listen to this. This is our promise. And I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust hath eaten, and the crawling locust, and the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of your God. The years that the enemy has eaten out of your life, the people that he's taken out of your life, the hurt, the pain, the despair, the mess. He said, I will restore what you went through in that divorce, what you went through in raising that little baby or receiving the baby that was sick. The birth pains the churches have gone through. The loved ones we had in this house that we loved so much, said goodbye to. But he said, I'm going to restore to you. Adam, write it down, brother. T.O., write it down, baby. He's going to restore to you every one of those years that you spent out in the world. Every one of them. Every one of those years you just even hate to remember or recall. The ones that embarrass you if you think about it. The ugly stuff. He said, Bruce, I will restore everything to you. I'll restore your mind, your heart, your soul. Ah, Father, take a look at us. We lift our hands to you today and say we repent. We repent of every sin we've ever committed. And Lord, we lift our hands to your will and to your way and to your word. May we have a word in our mouth that says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I know you will, and I won't be embarrassed to share it. Help me to be one of your wine producers to somebody else. Oh, as your wine comes, people all over need new wine, Lord. May it begin with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Could somebody just praise him? Come on now, Mary. Come on now, Peter. You know him. You know him. And you know what he can do. And you know his word. So you be encouraged. Get your head up, your shoulders back, and a spring in your step. We will not be feeble-kneed spiritually. But we will be strong and full of faith, walking in His glory with our vats full of fresh oil and fresh wine and fresh fire, church. Hallelujah. I don't need Mary in this house this morning. I don't need Peter, because I know in my own heart, and you know in your heart, you've been doing this a long time, and you know it's on the way. Amen. Woo!
Lift up your head, drink wine.
Yeah. Listen now. Don't forget, it was not Jesus' time yet, Brother Jerry, to turn that water to wine. It wasn't His time. But Mary pulled heaven down. She pulled time together. Maybe it wasn't God's time yesterday to do what He needs to do in your life. But it could be now when you say, Jesus, do something. Do something. Come on, pull heaven to the now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't He good? Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. We love you all. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May He turn His countenance toward you and give you peace that passes understanding, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.